After the battle came the clearing up. The holes in the outer wall had to be repaired or barricaded. The injured were taken to the infirmary as fast as it could cope with them, and the dead were piled up in one of the storage huts. There would be time for funerals later, hopefully. Each of the dead had to be identified first so that friends and loved ones could say a last goodbye. Sometimes the bodies were so damaged or disfigured that identification was difficult. Those unfortunates were laid out in lines in a separate hut, and tearful survivors moved slowly down the narrow aisles between the bodies, looking for something familiar. Collecting the dead and either identifying or laying them out was a disturbing, depressing business, but it had to be done. Most of those who'd gone out to fight were in no shape to do it, physically or mentally, so the duty fell to those who'd stayed within the mission, as a last line of defense to protect those too ill to fight. Colonel William Hand and Otto had ended up guarding the main gate and overseeing tactics, much to their disgust, and now used their military experience to deal with the business of the dead. There were always more, as men and women died, waiting to get to the infirmary. Hand and Otto weren't bothered by the dead. They'd seen enough bodies in their time to know the trick of treating them as objects, rather than as the people they'd been. Tobias Moon worked with them. He hadn't been allowed to go outside and fight, because he might easily have been mistaken for one of the enemy. At least, that's what they told him, and he went along with it. So now, he carried the dead into the long narrow hut and laid them in their rows, his augmented arms carrying the load long after even the most determined of the lepers had been forced to give up through sheer exhaustion. He was glad for a chance to be doing something to help. The dead bodies didn't bother him at all. He'd been there. William Hand walked slowly up and down the ranks, giving each body a number and making notes of things like personal jewelry to help with the identification. Otto staggered in and out with blankets wrapped around collections of body parts. They'd be matched up later if possible. For now, he just dumped them all in a pile in one corner and thanked God there were no rats on Lacrimae Christi. He dropped his last load under the chest-high pile, turned around, and pulled a face.
Jesus, this place stinks, Colonel. Couldn't say I'd least have chosen a hut for his windows.
Hand didn't look up from his clipboard.
Splash some disinfectant around, and if you see anything small and wriggling, hit it with something heavy.
I can't. St. B's commandeered all the disinfectant for the infirmary. She's even rounded up all the booze in the camp as backup. Next time, Colonel, let's not get distracted from the fighting.
The dwarf looked around him and was quiet for a long moment.
We lost a lot of good people out there, Colonel. 15, maybe 20% of us. And a lot more be dead by morning.
Heidemann lost a damn sight more.
Yeah, but let's face it, that was just a preliminary skirmish. An advance force sent in to test the defenses. That's what I'd have done. The real army is still out there in the jungle somewhere, digesting the lessons it's learned, and they could come at us any time.
You know, Otto, it's your cheerful personality that keeps me going. Don't you have any work to do?
Nope. No more body parts. I had to use a shovel and a bucket for the last lot, though how you're planning to match up things like ears and teeth and red and purple blobby bits is beyond me. Don't know what we'll do with them if they're not claimed, except maybe make soap out of them. Or soup, if things get really desperate.
The colonel looked up from his clipboard.
Of course, your people were cannibals, weren't they?
Only on holy days. And only if we really didn't like someone.
Tobias Moon appeared in the doorway.
Finished. There are no more bodies, though many remain gravely ill. I think you two should rest for a while now. I can continue with your work. I'm not tired at all.
Then you're the only one in this mission who isn't. Take 10, Otto. I think we've earned it.
The two of them sat down on the floor, as far away from the bodies and the smell as they could get, and wearily set their backs against the hut wall. Otto produced a battered gunmetal flask from somewhere about his person, winked at the colonel, and they both drank deeply from it. Moon hovered uncertainly in the doorway. Hand beckoned for him to come over.
Join us, Sir Moon. You've earned a break too, even if you don't need it. Pull up a piece of floor and sit down. Fancy a drop of something bad for you?
Alcohol did nothing for him, but Moon took the proffered flask anyway. He understood that that was part of being sociable. He sat down beside the colonel, took a modest drink, and then passed the flask back.
It has an unusual flavor.
The flavor isn't why you drink it, friend. You've been out in the main compound. What's the latest news?
Moon hesitated, running the information available through a filter of what most people found interesting.
The holes in the wall have been dealt with. A few fires did remarkably little damage.
The people, Moon. What about your friends, the living legends?
The Deathstalker was badly injured, but has recovered. Hazel Dark and Midnight Blue are helping Mother Beatrice in the infirmary. Bonnie Bedlam suffered extensive damage, but is healing at an accelerated rate and expects to be fully functional within an hour or two. Those of us who have been through the Madness Maze are very hard to kill.
Yeah, we noticed. You're probably even immune to what we've got.
Hamp looked at Moon for a long moment.
What would you have done if the Haider men had broken through our defenses and got in here? Would you have fought your own kind?
Yes, because they are not my people anymore. I am neither man nor Haider man. I owe allegiance to no race now, only to my friends.
In the end, that's all any of us have.
Hand lifted the flask to his gray lips again.
Friendship and honor. Nothing else matters.
But what if honor requires that you turn against your friends?
Tricky one. That's something everyone has to decide for himself. I guess you have to ask yourself, would they still be your friends if they knew you'd betrayed your honor?
It is very hard to be human.
You got that right.
By the time things had started to settle down, it was night. The dark fell early on Lacrimae Christi. Saint B and Sister Marion were still working in the infirmary, struggling to save lives with insufficient medicines and instruments. It was starting to look less like a hospital and more like a slaughterhouse. Hazel Dark and Midnight Blue helped as much as they could, taking breaks outside when they could no longer stand the screams or the suffering or the stench of exposed guts. They sat together on the steps outside, breathing in the fresh air, gathering up the courage to go back in again. It was hard to be so powerful and so helpless at the same time. After a while, Bonnie Bedlam came striding out of the shadows to join them. She wore the standard gray clothing and was perfectly healed, so much they barely recognized her. All her piercings and tattoos and body modifications were gone, blasted away by the energy beam, and had not been recreated when she healed. She was scowling fiercely as she sat down beside Hazel, just a little unsteadily.
I hate looking like this, like everyone else. Years of hard work gone in an instant. Even my old leathers were destroyed that I was wearing under my cloak. I've had them for years. Made them out of the skin of an old enemy. I'm still weak from the regeneration. Never had to do that much work before. If the Haidenmen attacked now, I couldn't beat them off with a paper towel.
Nice to see you too. We're fine, thanks.
You look a lot more like me now. Oh, God, it's not that bad, is it?
Any disturbances out in the jungle?
Just the plants eating and humping each other. How's it going in the infirmary? Depends on how you look at it. We're losing more than we're saving, but given the appalling conditions, it's a miracle we're saving so many. She really is a saint, you know? Been working all day, and she's still going when we're out on our feet. I've never seen so much blood in one place. The floor's awash with it, no matter how much disinfectant we sling around. Shock kills a lot of them, either from their wounds or from the surgery. I guess leprosy weakens all the body's defenses.
It's not fair. They fought so bravely. They won the battle. They deserve better than the little we're able to do for them.
Yeah, it's one thing for us to go out and fight. We're practically unkillable. We can get hurt, but nothing really threatens us.
And in the end, Sister Kathleen turned the battle around, not one of us, and gave her life to do it. Didn't even hesitate.
We're like the monsters in the old stories. Cut us, shoot us, burn us. We just keep coming back for more.
The Haidenmen. They're the real monsters. Giving up their humanity for their love of tech. Perfection isn't achieved through the body, but through the spirit. What honor is there in attacking a mission full of sick people?
They want something. And they don't let anything get in the way of what they want, least of all morality. They're ruthless. utterly without mercy or compassion, and they never step aside for anyone. I can respect that. Sometimes, in order to achieve anything of value, you have to be prepared to sacrifice something of value. Friends, honour, morality, love. I love my Owen with all my rotten heart, but I'd sacrifice him to save the Empire, and he knows it. Can you say you wouldn't do the same?
I lost my Owen. I would sacrifice the Empire and everything in it to have him in my arms again.
But how would he feel about that?
Oh, he'd be appalled. But then Owen always was much more honorable than me.
Where's your Owen? Around. He was overseeing the repairs to the wall, but I haven't seen him for ages. Been too busy. I thought he was going to die today, but once again he pulled himself back from the brink. Man's got more lives than a basket full of cats. But just for a moment, while he was lying there in his own blood, I thought, what would I do without him? What would there be for me to live for with him gone?
Why don't you tell him that? If the Haydenmen come again, you might not get another chance.
Later, maybe. We're still needed here. I can help out for a while. Go and find your Owen.
Hazel looked down at the ground before her.
I never wanted commitment, to be bound to any one person. I've spent my whole life fighting to be free, defying any kind of authority just to be sure that no one ran my life but me. And then I met Owen, and fate bound us together no matter how much we struggled. I admire him greatly. He's brave and kind and honorable, and he loves me. I've always known that. But I've never loved anyone in my whole life. I don't know if I have it in me to love anyone, even a man as fine as Owen. I'm not the loving kind.
I thought that for a long time. I didn't realize the truth till my Owen was dead and lost to me forever. Don't make the mistake I did and wait too long. We heroes tend to live dangerous and often tragically short lives.
Go and talk to the man. I'll cover for you with St. B. Come on, Midnight. You hold them down and I'll do the stitches.
They got up, squared their shoulders, and went back into the slaughterhouse. Hazel sat alone on the steps, staring silently out into the gloom. Owen Deathstalker moved through the open compound, anonymous again in his leper's cloak and pulled down hood, listening to the people talk. They sat in small clumps around open fires, passing their last few bottles of booze back and forth. It was supposed to have gone to the infirmary for emergency use, but it hadn't taken the lepers long to decide that if their current need wasn't an emergency, they didn't know what was, since they could all be dead tomorrow anyway. They dug up the hidden bottles they'd stashed away for a dry day and poured the stuff down their necks as fast as they could stand it. The cheer of victory hadn't blinded them to the reality of their situation. They knew they were just waiting for the next act. So they talked and laughed and sang, praised St. B and the Sisters of Glory, and compared notes on the living legends who had come to lead and protect them.
They say the Deathstalker died and brought himself back to life.
Nah, when you're dead, you're dead. Like the Blessed Sister Kathleen. When you're gone, you don't come back.
That's for the likes of us. We're human. He isn't. Not anymore.
Of course he's human. He was born among us to become more than us, to lead us to victory like he led the rebels in the Great War against the Empress.
That was Jack Random, the professional rebel. Though they say he's immortal too these days. And Ruby Journey and Hazel Dark and that bloody Haydenman Moon. Every bugger except us, seems like.
Yeah, but they're still human. Old Deaf Sally asked Hazel Dark to heal her by laying on of hands. Didn't work.
Maybe Sally just didn't have enough faith.
May I join you, friends?
Sure, take a pew. I'm Harry, the one with the stupid hat is Sigurd, and the boring one is Glum.
I'm Giles. I'm new. I've met the Deathstalker. He didn't seem all that special to me. Just a man trying to do what's right.
Then you must have had your eyes shut. He's been touched by God. Has to have been to do all the things he's done. They say angels fought alongside him in the Great Rebellion and were seen flying in the skies above all the great battles.
He's no saint. There's only one saint here, and she's still up to her elbows in guts in the infirmary. And I saw the Deathstalker on the Hollow, fighting in the streets on Golgotha, and there weren't any bloody angels there. Just Hazel Dark, and she sure as hell isn't an angel. Unless it's the fallen kind. Nice tits, though.
Angels wouldn't show up on a film. They're spiritual creatures.
If he was a saint, he'd heal us. Save us all and wipe out the Hayden men with a wave of his hand. But he didn't, because he can't. Nope, he's powerful all right, but he's still one of us.
There are those who say he's a monster. That no one should be able to do the things he can do. That all power corrupts.
Bull! He was born an aristo, to a life of riches and pleasures, but he gave it all up to champion the downtrodden. He gave up wealth and position of his own free will, refusing to live in comfort while the people lived in slavery. He's a hero, a legend.
That was Jack Random.
Random was a failure on his own, everyone knows that. The Deathstalker fought for us when no one else would. Freed Jack Random from prison and put new life into him. He could have been emperor if he wanted, but he turned it down. You only see his like once in 1,000 years.
He gave the Hayden men a chance at redemption. Who else would have done that? All right, they betrayed him in the end, but that's Hayden men for you.
They say he killed a Grendel with his bare hands. A Grendel, mind you! No man could do that who wasn't touched by God.
But doesn't it scare you, some of the things he can do?
Oh, hell. What does it matter? Of course he's scary. Heroes always are. They're all pretty spooky. All amaze people. If they did go bad, who could stop them? They could kill us all, lay waste to whole planets, destroy the damned empire if the whim took them. They could be monsters, but the point is, they aren't. The Deathstalker came here to save us when no one else would. He could die here along with us and no one would ever know. But he came anyway, because it was the right thing to do. In the end, that's all that matters.
Touched by God, driven by destiny. Chosen to be a hero. Poor bastard.
Yeah. He could have taken the crown. I would have. Instead, he's here with us in hell.
Well, I don't know. From what I've heard, Parliament's an even more dangerous place than this. At least here you can be sure who your enemies are. Well, I have to go. Thanks for your company, friends. Owen left them sitting around their fire and made his way back across the compound, heading nowhere in particular. He'd heard them talk about Owen Deathstalker as a hero and a legend, and as some poor bastard touched by God, and didn't recognize himself in either vision. Already, people were beginning to forget the facts, or dress them up to fit their own beliefs. No one understood who he really was, or why he'd done the things he'd done. As a historian, he'd always known such revision and reinvention of his life was inevitable, but it came hard to see himself already disappearing behind the old masks of myth and folk hero. They'd be saying he was born in a manger next, with 3 wise lords come to visit him. His feet took him to the infirmary, where Hazel was. When in doubt, he always went to Hazel. She was perhaps the only person who'd known him from the beginning, who'd been through all the changes with him. Perhaps the only person left who knew the real him. He found her sitting on the steps outside the wooden building, her head hanging tiredly down. He sat down beside her. You should get some sleep. It's been a long day.
You're the one who should be sleeping. Hell, you nearly died today.
Business as usual. St. B still working in there?
Yeah. Nearly finished, though. Those who were going to die have done so, and the rest have all been attended to. She's just mopping the place out now, getting ready for tomorrow. How many do you think we'll lose tomorrow, Owen?
Too many. They fight well and they're brave enough, but most of them are long in sick beds. And even if they were fit, they'd be no match for an army of Haydenmen. I don't think anything is under these conditions. Maybe not even us. The real army will be here tomorrow, and maybe even sometime tonight. And then the walls to this place will come down like matchsticks, and the real butchery will begin. What the hell do they want here? Moon said there's something out there in the jungle, something he could sense but not describe. Called it the Red Brain. Maybe that's what the Hidden Men want.
What we need is a miracle. Maybe if we asked St. B very nicely.
I don't think God's listening to us right now. We're on our own.
Nonsense.
Mother Beatrice came out of the infirmary in a brand new nun's outfit, freshly starched and spotlessly clean.
God is always with us. He just won't fight our battles for us.
I don't believe in God anymore. Not after everything I've seen. All the evil, all the suffering, all the death.
People were responsible for that evil, not God. And you have lived to see much of that evil come to an end. Be content with that.
She sat down beside Owen on the steps, rubbing at her hands with a damp cloth. There were still specks of dried blood around her fingernails.
Why did you come here? Didn't you have enough of seeing people die after Technos 3?
I came here because I was needed. Why do you and Owen keep throwing yourselves into danger?
Same reason, I suppose. People need us. No one else can do what we do. I still believe in the old virtues of duty and honor, even though they seem to have gone out of fashion in today's new order of deals and compromises.
And that part of you is the part that hears God's voice. You can't ignore it any more than I can.
I fight because I'm good at it. My life's revolved around violence and killing for as long as I can remember. Everywhere I've been, it was always kill or be killed. Where's God's voice in that?
It isn't what you do that matters. It's why you do it. It is the cause we fight for that defines us. God gave you the warrior's gift, Hazel, but left it up to you how to use it.
I never wanted to be a warrior. It was thrust upon me by circumstances.
Maybe, in the beginning. Nobody sane wants to be a hero. Few tales of real heroes have happy endings. But you became what you are because of who you are, because you couldn't look aside and do nothing while evil flourished. You are the best kind of warrior, Owen. The man who never wanted to be one. I never wanted to be a saint. I still wince inside whenever anyone uses the word. I know I'm not worthy. Hell, I only joined the church originally to get out of marrying Valentine Wolfe. But I found my faith. Or it found me. And I can no more turn aside from those who need help than I could stop breathing. In the end, honor defines us all. Without honor, our lives would have no meaning at all.
Owen listened and wanted so desperately to believe, but still couldn't be sure. The three of them looked up sharply, as all hell seemed to be breaking loose in the jungle around the mission. It sounded like there was a war going on out there, and someone was losing badly. Owen and Hazel drew their guns, forced aside their tiredness, and ran for the outer wall. People ran alongside them, rubbing sleep from their eyes and shouting questions no one had answers for. Owen and Hazel sprinted up the wooden steps that led to the catwalk inside the top of the outer wall and looked out across the clearing at the jungle beyond. The light from the mission didn't penetrate far into the dark, and there was no moon above to light the scene.
Can we get more light out here?
Owen listened intently to the commotion raging in the jungle, but couldn't make any sense of it. Were the Hademen fighting each other? Soon the catwalk was packed with people, most of them holding up torches or lanterns, and for the first time movements could be seen in the jungle, of dark forces rushing back and forth. And then the first screams came out of the jungle, and the unmistakable buzzing tones of Hademen, torn from unwilling, horrified throats. Owen strained his eyes against the dark and the rain. The clearing was utterly deserted. Whatever was happening was limited to the jungle. Sudden glows came and went among the trees as energy beams started fires and the rain put them out. Dark figures could be seen fighting and struggling. They might have been Hayden men, but there were other shapes too, dark and indistinct, moving too fast to be defined. And wherever they went, the screaming rose anew. Mother Beatrice pushed in beside Owen.
What is it, Sir Deathstalker? What's happening out there?
Damned if I know. But at a guess, I'd say someone or something is kicking Hademan's ass. And making a damn good job of it.
Could they be reinforcements? Marines, perhaps?
I don't think so. The attackers don't seem to be using guns, and they don't move like anything human. Are there any creatures on this planet that we don't know about, Mother Beatrice?
No, nothing at all.
Angels! Angels have come to save us!
I don't think so. These seem more like devils. I never heard a Hademan scream before. What could be so deadly, so terrible, that even the Hademan are afraid of them?
Well, you could always go out and take a look, but if you do, you're going on your own. I'm not putting one foot outside this wall until there's enough light to see what I'm aiming at.
The Hademan have disruptors.
doesn't seem to be doing them any good, does it?
The tumult in the jungle suddenly broke off. The last few screams choked off abruptly. The crashing and the thrashing stopped, and there was no sign of movement anywhere. The night was completely still, and the mission's defenders stood silently on the catwalk, listening to nothing but the crackling of torches, the endless pattering of rain on the roof, and their own breathing. The jungle was dark and calm, holding its secrets within.
Well, at a guess, I'd say that whatever it was, it's over now. I think we'd better post double guards for tonight on 3-hour shifts. Everyone else, go and get some sleep. Just because a few Haydenmen apparently got their just desserts, it doesn't necessarily mean we won't be facing a whole army of the bastards out there tomorrow, and we're going to need all our strength to see them off.
Shouldn't we send someone out to check for bodies?
After you! Any bodies can wait till the morning. Everything can wait till the morning. The Deathstalker's right. Post the extra guards, and everyone else, get some sleep.
And since no one ever argued with St. B, the Watchers slowly dispersed, going to find what rest they could before morning. The guards left behind turned their guns on the dark jungle, ready to shoot first and ask questions much later, if at all. Owen and Hazel headed for the nearest steps and ran into Bonnie Bedlam and Midnight Blue coming the other way.
A good performance. I felt like applauding.
What do you think just hit the Haydenmen?
I couldn't make out much, but what I did seemed almost familiar.
Anyone who kills Haydenmen is fine with me. I mean, come on, what could be worse than an army of augmented men?
I have a horrible suspicion we're going to find out come the morning. At least the Haydenmen were a known quantity. We could make plans against them. Now...
Right. The enemy of my enemy isn't always bound to be my friend. Especially if they're the enemies of humanity.
Hazel looked at her sharply.
Shub? You think there are Shub forces out there? What else could take out a force of Haydenmen so easily? You ask me, that jungle is full of ghost warriors and furies. I want to go home.
But what the hell would Shub want here? There's nothing here.
Except the Red Brain.
Moon emerged suddenly from the gloom.
I can feel its presence more and more strongly all the time.
Red. Could it be some part of the jungle? Some plant that has developed intelligence?
It's vast. Very large and very complex. And utterly alien. I have no idea what it is, but what I can detect of its slow thoughts makes no sense at all. All I can be sure of is that it's very dangerous. If I were a little more certain of my humanity, I think I'd be scared. It's so big, and we're so very small.
But what is it?
It's the Red Brain. And if it's as powerful and as dangerous as I think it is, then Hayden or Shub would be right to commit any number of troops here, either to seize it or destroy it.
But then, why are they attacking the mission?
We're just in the way. I don't think Hayden or Shub is in the mood to share its prize.
Moon turned and walked back into the gloom, and soon was gone.
I think I preferred him when he was just inhuman. He was much less irritating.
He certainly picked a hell of a time to go mystical on us. Maybe we should send him to St. B and see if she can get some sense out of him.
The Red Brain. Sounds like one of those evil criminal masterminds from the old Hollow serials when I was just a kid. Maybe we should put out a call to the Grim Grey Avenger to come and save us.
Did you have those shows on your world? I was always a big fan of his. He was my hero when I was little.
Yeah, I had all his discs and his special decoder ring, the one you had to send away for.
Owen left them chattering happily together and went off on his own to get some sleep before he fell down. Saving his own life had taken a lot out of him. And he had a strong feeling that when morning came, and he finally saw what was waiting outside the mission, he wasn't going to like it at all.